Angie's List is now Angie, your home for everything home. Angie still has the same top pros and reviews you've counted on for more than 20 years, only now you'll also get access to all the tools you need to make your home a happy place. Inside, outside, big or small, Angie helps you find the right solution for whatever you need done, all from your phone. It's simple to find upfront pricing and instantly book hundreds of projects. You can even search pricing guides to see what others paid for similar jobs and easily compare quotes from top local pros to make sure you're getting a fair price. From lawn care to repairing the AC to the project of your dreams, Angie has your home projects handled from start to finish. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, they'll cover your project up to the full purchase price plus limited damage protection with their happiness guarantee. Make your home an Angie home. Check out Angie.com today. And for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, comedian Brant Tobler tells a really funny story about his one night with a porn star.
And it's that awful moment in Vegas when you walk outside and it's daylight. And then we walk out and I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, I'm drunk. I can't believe this. I guess it's over. And I said to this porn star, like, nice to meet you or whatever. And she's like, we're not done. You want to come to my house? And I was like, okay. Yeah, this is crazy. I'm going to have sex with a porn star. This is crazy because she was hot. And I was like, this is, like I said, I'm a kid from Wyoming. I never dreamed I'd even meet a porn star. So we get in this cab and we kind of cuddle up in the back and we both fall asleep. And after about 20, 25 minutes, we pull up to this beautiful neighborhood with like a guard gate.
Today on Storyworthy, comedian Brant Tobler talks about his night with a porn star. Stay close.
Hey, it's Brant Tobler, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. If you're a longtime fan of the show of almost 10 years, 10 years, or you're a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you guys enjoyed the story last week by actress Lauren Weedman. Brant, by any chance, did you hear Lauren Weedman last week?
No. What was her story about?
Lauren Weedman, beautiful girl, fabulous girl, super talented. Let me break it down. She's married to her husband for a good amount of time. And then they have a baby, a tiny baby, like 2 years old. And then she finds out that her husband is having an affair. And who is he having an affair with? The babysitter.
Oh, busted.
And he was 50 and the babysitter was?
A Brant guy. Tobler?
No.
I was like, whoa. The babysitter was, I get to guess the age?
Yeah.
Oh, she was 19 for sure.
18.
Ooh, busted.
Ladies and gentlemen, yeah, go back. Listen to Lauren Weedman's story called The Babysitter. It is dramatic. It. Yeah, it's really good. And even though I just told you, the synopsis, it's really well worth listening to because it is a shocking situation. And she has to live with it now because, well, I can't tell you the outcome, but I mean, honestly, it's still in her life and will be forever. Because of, you'll see why, if you go back and listen to that episode, you guys. Today, I'm here with a really fantastic comedian and a good friend of mine, Brant Tobler, and he brings forth the topic, One Night with a Porn Star. One Night with a Porn Star. So this, right off the bat, I know some things. I know it was only one night, so.
Yeah, a wild night.
Well, I am anxious to hear more of that. I know two girls, I don't think they're really stars, but they have done, porn. And they're sweet as can be, of course. I mean, it's not like you're going to be a mean person or something. Like, it seems so judgmental. People obviously, not obviously, but people do think like negative connotations to a porn star. But really, what they do has nothing to do with who the person is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, she's a sweetheart.
Yeah, no, I believe that. And I have a couple of friends who are strippers in the same way. You know, you do what you have to do, what you choose to do. But when it comes to being a friend or being kind or being responsible, it's like a different thing. They might be a perfectly, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm trying to say, but I don't want to negate the sex industry workers. Yeah. That's my point.
I'm a big fan of them. You don't have to convince me. I love them.
Brent, you came on the Story Worthy Hour of Power last week and blew everybody away with a great story. You do happen to have an extraordinary amount of completely wild stories. Don't you agree?
Yeah, for sure. Just living in Vegas, you know, they're mostly all happen in Vegas. Like tonight's or today's story will be in Vegas, but I'm a kid. I grew up in a small town in Wyoming. I never dreamed I would have these kind of stories, and then they just kind of happened. And then as my career went on and podcasts got popular, I always told myself, just do it for the podcast. I mean, podcasts are, I listen to 3 or 4 hours of podcasts every day. So there's been points in my life when I'm like, we should just go for this because it might be a great podcast story, as weird as that is. So I like to risk it sometimes. And my girlfriend's like, knock it off. I'm like, this is content. This is for work.
Well, it is content. And, you know, the truest stories are always the best stories to me. I think that's why true crime really took off, because it's these bizarre situations and it's true. So, I mean, okay, you've been on Story Worthy before, Brent, and you told the story about, it was titled, I think, Crimes in the Mall or something, about a lot of crimes that you did in Cheyenne, Wyoming, in a mall. Is that true?
Yes, yes. I started what I called the Malfia, where I just started like an underground system in the mall, and then I eventually stole over $600,000 from a department store, and I almost got in big trouble, but I did it. And that's you should listen to that episode. But yeah, I said all my stories were Vegas, but actually I guess I did start in Wyoming. And I started a big crime spree as a 19-year-old that was very exciting at the time, which in hindsight, I wish I would have known more. People are always like, why didn't you make more money off it? But it was like before eBay and stuff. So I was just 19 years old hooking my friends up, not knowing the consequences or anything. I just liked being the big shot.
Yeah. And if you guys go back in the Story Worthy catalog, you'll find the episode with Brent and I, but I can't remember what year. It must have been like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably 4 or 5 years ago.
But if you Google Brent Tobler Story Worthy, it comes up, which I should probably do right now. But the point is that story, well, there's so many incredible aspects to it. And I know what you're saying is like, you weren't doing it so much in a way as like thievery or being like sneaky. You were trying to help people out and you were sharing with friends and you weren't of the mindset of like, I'm robbing. It was more like I'm sharing.
Yeah. Well, I felt like Robin Hood, and you know what? It doesn't make it okay what I did, but it's a lesson. If you own a business out there, I tell people, like, if you treat your employees good, they'll spend all day trying to help you beat your competition. But if you treat your employees bad, they'll spend all day trying to beat you. And, you know, I think leadership is so important in businesses, and I just had bad leaders that treated us bad. So in a weird way, I had no problem rationalizing, like, screw these people. I'm getting this and taking care of my friends. And essentially I was working for myself. So I don't know how I stumbled into, I mean, I know how I stumbled into it. It's a longer story, but then once I was in it, I don't think I realized how big it was until the police and everybody came. And then in that moment I was like, oh yeah, this is over $500,000 inventory wrap. We have some serious problems. So,
Now, a couple of things. One of the funny things about your story is that it took place in a mall in Cheyenne where they have the only escalator in the state.
Yeah. No, that's actually in Casper. But we do only have one escalator. We don't even have an escalator there.
Wait, at your mall there was no escalator?
No escalator. There was just me gluing quarters to the floor, which that shows how immature I was at the time. I thought that was – I mean, it was funny. I can't even argue. We would just sit there and laugh, but no Esca. There's that one escalator in Wyoming, but it's in Casper.
Wow, we can only dream.
Yeah, we can. One day we'll get there.
You know, I mean, I know you work a lot. You're a touring, headlining comedian, et cetera. But another avenue, honestly, you could pursue is going around and, you know, talking to these big sales corporations. Like I could see their conventions or like their, you know, they need entertainment and they also need to learn a lesson. And you could be like on the other side of the coin saying, let me tell you why I screwed you guys over. Like that kind of thing.
So, you know, it's so funny. I've been working on that the whole quarantine, working on these keynote speeches and entitled The Worst Employee Ever. And that's kind of what I plan to do coming out of this. So I'm glad you said that. That just reaffirms. But yeah, I'm going to, because I think, you know, the way my mind works is a little different than my father was in prison the whole time I was a kid. And I think maybe a little bit's heredity, but when I walk into a business, I immediately see the holes in their system where I could rob from them. So I've been working on this, it's about an hour speech now, talking about leadership and how to transform your worst employee into your best employee. Cause the weird thing about it is that there's no 50-50 with me. There's no like middle ground. I'm either a great employee or an awful employee. There is no middle. Like if I really like you and you're a good leader, I'll do anything for you. And it's just the opposite. If I don't respect you and you're a bad leader, I'm the worst employee. And then I lead. So you have two options. So I've been working on it for about a month and a half. So I actually think it'll be something that could be life changing. Because I'm also in the process of working on the speech. I kind of wrote a book, started to write a book about it. So because I think it's just it's something people that run businesses would like to see the other side of.
Man, this is so great. What a brilliant idea. Yeah, keynote speaker. That's the word I was trying to think of. And I could totally see this going. Plus, you could sell your book free roll as well.
Yeah.
And so you'd have merch. And you're so flipping likable that it's so funny. Like when you get on stage, you really are like everybody's friend. And you don't seem at all criminal-like. And then you start talking about your dad and your home life. And then it just, it all kind of shifts down into place why you are who you are.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of another thing in the speech is just that I'm the scariest one because you would never suspect it. And by the time it's too late. And that's, you know, I talk about in free roll, I've created this persona where I'm just a dumb idiot. And I like it because then no one really knows how calculated and smart. I shouldn't be giving away my secrets, but there is a strategy to it that, you know, I like being talked down to and considered stupid because the whole time in my head I'm plotting my revenge. So
that's it. Then you turn around.
Yeah. Then the next thing, by the time they figure it out, it's too late. So I like the cat and mouse of it, but it's a different, you know, I'd rather help because now that I'm older, you know, I don't need to be robbing people and stuff. I'd like to help people from getting robbed.
Well, it's true. I mean, and I think that that's must be like what they do in prisons and stuff, right? Like they must use like ex-prisoners to, I don't know, there's something about knowledge, something.
Well, yeah, just because I think, you know, if you own a company or something, we just have different mindsets. Like I said, the way I look at stuff, you know, people look at numbers and graphs and statistics. I don't, when I walk in, I'm like, oh, this door shouldn't be right here. Or why would you put the money right there? Or why this is your security? Or this is how people come and go. And it's just, I don't even know where it came from, but it's just something that I have inside of me that it scares people a little bit. Like my girlfriend's like, I'll say, I can't believe they did this right here. And they're like, she's like, why do you even think like that? I was like, I don't know, but that's how I think.
So check this out. My boyfriend does the exact same thing in bars. And he used to be one of these undercover bar guys that would go into a business and tell them why they're losing money or what's going down. So we can go in a bar together. And when we go out, when we used to go out before this thing, he was the same way. It was actually kind of bothersome. You know, he would watch the bartenders and he could say, you know, you see what they're doing there? See, they're stealing right there. You see that? See that? And then he would tell me all the ways that bartenders rip off restaurants and rip off, you know, the owners, and all the way from, of course, replacing alcohol with different alcohol, You know what I mean? Like people order these stupid Cadillac margaritas, like they could taste the difference in tequila. You know what I mean? Yeah. Give me a break.
We would battle, me and him, because I'd be his nemesis and he'd be my nemesis. He would be. We would not work. We would. I'm sure we'd get along great in life, but in a business setting, I would be watching him and he would be watching me, and that would that'd be the cat and mouse game that we probably both love and probably. Yeah. Scares our girlfriends a little too much. It's,
yeah, really funny. And he'll also look at receipts. Like, I've never seen anybody look at a receipt. And I don't do that either. Do you do that? Do you look at receipts closely?
Yeah, and because that's like, you know, that was one of the main things I figured out early is, well, most people don't want receipts. Like, you're a perfect victim in this because when I worked at the sports store, I just memorized what everything cost. So if a kid came in and bought a hat for $32.46, I'd say, hey, here's your hat. And before I went to the cash register, I'd say it's $32.46. You want a bag or receipt? And kids would be like, no, I'm going to wear it out. And then I would hit buttons on the machine that were just useless buttons. And then they'd hand me the cash and I'd put it in the machine. And then, you know, at the end of the night, I'd go, okay, you know, another thing, I bet your boyfriend's probably really good at math. Like I'm really good with numbers. So I could throughout the day just keep a running total. And then at the end of the night, even if the manager was around as I'm separating, I could just pocket what was mine. And
wow, that is so funny. Yeah. He is good at math. It is. It's definitely a thing. I don't know. Yeah. It's a thing for sure.
We have the same brain. He just works for the good guys and I used to work for the bad guys. So, but I'm trying to come to his side because ironically there's more money on his side.
Huh.
That's where the real money is at. If I do one of these speeches go for 10,000 where if I went and worked, but I mean, if I was going to rob somebody, like I would work at like Chipotle or something. Like robbing a bank is like the biggest mistake you can make. If you become a manager at like Chipotle, instead of getting 10,000 once, you could get 800 every 3 days for a year, which adds up tax-free. So that's kind of the way my brain thinks.
Oh my God. That is so wild. But here's the thing. You as a keynote speaker, you'll be able to add the things in your life that like, in other words, it'll be like fruitious labor because you will be doing what you want to do, which is speaking in front of people and getting laughs and being the entertainer. And you'll be getting paid a good sum. So it's like you're finding your niche. That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm excited about it. Cause I think it's just, I'll make a lot more money and I can add the comedy, but no one complains. A keynote speaker doesn't get heckled or complained. I mean, I still do comedy cause that's my first love, but, as most people know, comedy pays nothing. So this will be I think it'll be a fun little side job, which will probably become my main actual income, but stand-up is what I'll always do. Cause that's my favorite.
Yeah, but this thing, I'm telling you, nobody can take it away from you. You're just complete original. And being from Cheyenne is also like completely random, man. It's so random.
It is. It's crazy.
All right, you guys, before we get to Brent's story, I did want to remind you guys to follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Would you do that? It's Storyworthy. Twitter's more fun, I'll be honest with you. Twitter's a lot more fun. I tweeted something last night that just occurred to me. It was something like, you thought homeschooling was bad. Now I'm the camp counselor or something like that. It's not that funny. And next thing you know, I look down, 280 likes. Now you're telling me that's not a hit of adrenaline.
Yeah.
Right, Brent?
Yeah, it's awesome. No, it's awesome. It's just a validation during this when you can't go perform and do stuff.
Yeah, I love Twitter and I just like wordplay anyway.
Yeah.
So anyway, follow me there, guys. Forget about Instagram. No, I'm kidding. You can follow me there too, but I don't understand it. So anyway, check out storyworthypodcast.com as well so that you can find out who's on the next Storyworthy Hour of Power, which is my new show on Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Brent Tobler, he did the show last week, and it's been just a blast. The show's coming out now Tuesday, but the other night I had on Peter Melman and Madeline Smithberg and it's just so much fun. So every Sunday night, you guys, 6 p.m., you can tune in from anywhere in the world. Head over to storyworthypodcast.com for more details. And as always, there is a free ticket option. Always. Yes, of course. All right, you guys, he's here right now, Brent Tobler. As we've been talking, you know that he is a stand-up comedian and an author and an actor. Would you say actor? I guess so, right?
I mean, kind of. It's on the bio, but I play I play a homeless guy. That's the only parts I've ever got.
Is that right?
Lay on the ground and go, and I nail it every time. But actors being generous. Like I've done, I'm a good like background actor. It's weird though. Stuff I've been in does great, but it's not because of me. Like yeah. I did a Doritos commercial one time that won $1 million at the Super Bowl. I think I'm just more lucky. People put me in stuff because I'm lucky more than talented. Yeah.
Well, also you're very natural. You're very natural on screen. Like you could tell you're not putting on anything, you know?
Yeah. I'm very limited. I can just be myself, which like is just a homeless guy usually, especially now that I haven't had a haircut or anything. I could really nail homeless right now, I think.
You have toured overseas performing for the troops, and you've also been featured on Comedy Central, Fox, and ESPN. And you have two recorded comedy CDs, Token White Boy and Ramblin' and Gamblin'. And you also have your podcast, the 31, meaning the 31, like the flavors, but you ask 31 questions.
Yes.
How did you come up with those questions, by the way?
You know what? It was actually a fun process is that I made a list of questions, maybe like 100. And then when people come over, I would just ask them and then see which ones they liked best over time. And it's just a good icebreaker. I tell people they should use it on like dates and stuff. And people love it because they just get to talk about themselves. So no one's ever complained about doing my podcast. Usually people are like, oh, another podcast. And then after asking, and I asked kind of different questions than what most people ask. So by the end, everyone's like, man, that was a really fun podcast. I'm like, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Well, it is. And I did it before. And it really, remember I did it out at your pad when you were in that pad in the valley and you had like a hot tub on the porch.
Yeah.
And there were like six major TV screens in the house. It was like a frat house.
Yeah. It was pretty sweet.
But no, I know what you mean. It is all up. It's an uplifting show and it's not long form interviews. So it's just random questions. It's fun. Here's another idea, Brant. How about getting a 31-sided dice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's an icebreaker game to play with your family. And you roll the dice, and then there's your story. You get the timer, 1 minute, of course.
Yeah.
Boom.
It's not a bad idea at all, actually.
I mean, I'm telling you, Brent, it's like they're paying us to make up ideas. You know what I mean? We're so smart. Ideas are just pouring out. I'm telling you.
I'll take it. Well, my new podcast that people love is I do a podcast called Craigslist Chaos, where I just get on Craigslist and then I just put like whatever town, I'll just go to Los Angeles and then I'll put call me in the search bar. And then anybody that's dumb enough to put their phone number on Craigslist, I just call them and try to buy stuff or get jobs or join the Illuminati. And what I love about it is it's fun. So yesterday I released episode number 70, but it's great because every episode is just different and crazy. And yesterday I had a truck driver that was dealing with these hitchhikers and then he won this big jackpot and got robbed. And then I called some 80-year-old man in Florida that just kept doing like jokes to me. Like he was just so sweet and funny, like a grandpa. I was like, I said, what's your job? And then he's like, oh, I'm a diamond cutter. And then I was like, oh, really? He's like, yeah, I mow Yankee Stadium. And he would just do all these crazy little jokes. And so that's what I love about it. A lot of times I get crazy people, but it's a fun one. And,
That's a really good idea. That's a really fun idea. And what's I like that about that podcast is it's kind of easy for you, right? Because you don't have to write anything.
Well, as you know, it's hard to get guests and people cancel. And what I love about it is like if I'm sitting out – so I built a podcast studio in my house. So it's always there. So if I ever feel like I'm lazy or I need to get something done, I just walk downstairs and Craigslist is always there for me. So it's – there is always chaos, so it's been fun.
Dude, that is such a funny idea. Yeah. I love that so much. By the way, I sold my couch on Craigslist the other day, and it sold like in 3 hours, right? So then, of course, I'm thinking, oh, it should have charged more money, but who cares, right? So the guy comes, $250, takes it out. Then I go online to get the couch I've been looking at for like 3 months, and I just go, okay, yeah, give me the couch. Sold out.
Oh,
so I have no couch.
Oh,
that's
no.
How it's going to be. Yeah. And it's just going to be that way because I want that couch.
Oh, that's
you know what I mean?
The one you need. Yeah. I've been there.
Brant, you've done it all. You're also the author of the book Free Roll that we touched on. And you guys can find out more about Brant over at his website, branttobler.com, and also follow him on Twitter at Brant Tobler. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Brant Tobler.
So this was, like I said, I lived in Vegas, and this was by far my craziest Vegas night. And I should have known it was going to be crazy. So the first show, I was doing a show downtown at Four Queens at the LA Comedy Club. And I, in the middle, I have a joke where I just go, does size matter? And then all the girls, especially drunk in Vegas, scream, yeah. And then I go, oh, a bunch of whores. And it always gets a laugh. So on this night, I say that joke. I go, does size matter? And one girl goes, yeah. And she's sitting right side stage. And I go, oh, look at this whore. And which usually gets a laugh. And it was dead silent. And I was like, I wonder what just happened. And then I came off stage and they were like, you know who that girl is you called a whore? And I was like, no. And they're like, that's Randy Couture, the famous UFC fighter. And that's his girlfriend. And I was like, oh, no. So then after the show, I was worried that he was just going to punch me in the face. And all the other comics are like, dude, he's going to kill you. And then after the show, of course, he was super sweet. And then it's the first time I ever signed a boob. And I didn't have a Sharpie. So I signed a boob with a ballpoint pen, which was really hard to do and hard on her. And I should have known in that moment it was going to be a crazy night, but I had to. So I signed this girl's boob and take a couple pictures, and we take off because I had another show at the Green Door. So the Green Door is a famous swingers club in Las Vegas. It's huge. It's like as big as a Costco. It's giant. So there's a guy, a very funny comedian named Sam Tripoli, and he does a show called The Naughty Show. So it's comedians and celebrities and porn stars. So we go to the Green Door, and when we get there, so the Green Door, like I said, it's huge, and there's different rooms. Like there's a dungeon, and there's like a room where people pee on each, like just all the craziest stuff. So you can just walk around and watch people have sex, like live sex.
So wait a second, is it also a, you're saying there's a comedy club in the Green Door?
No, it's just he just set up a show there because he had the Naughty Show. It was the perfect spot for it because, I mean, his shows were famous for crazy stuff happening, so you couldn't really do it in a comedy club. So we're in this Green Door, and then so there's like a couple comics and then porn stars. So I go up and I do my act. I do like 10 minutes, but it's the audience is all dudes, and they don't really care about the comedy. And then when I come off, up comes, there's three porn stars and a guy in a bunny suit, a full rabbit suit. And then he has a super soaker water gun full of cherry vodka and some bananas and whipped cream. And these porn stars and this guy in the bunny suit put on this incredible show. It's whatever you're thinking in your head, multiply by 10. Incredible. So when the porn stars come up, I was like, I told this girl, and I had met this girl because she lived in Vegas. I had met her years ago. And I was like, hey, I remember you. And she's like, I remember you. And we were both like, good job. And I was like, you did way better than I did, obviously. So the show, so then we're hanging out backstage. And but you can't drink in the swingers club for some reason. It's a weird rule. You can do anything else in the world in there. And I mean anything else, but you can't drink. So we watch the end of the show, and then she's like, you want to go grab a drink? And I was like, okay. So we go next door to a place called the Badlands Saloons. It's a very gay bar, like a just gay male bar, like open chaps. Like, and so we all go over there, and you know. So, but then all the fans from the show go to this to the bar. So I sit down with this girl, and we're having drinks. And all these dudes come over and they're like, hey, can we have a picture with you? And the porn star, because I don't remember what month it was, but it was whenever, I don't know if it's the thing, but she had grown her bush out like real big, her like Movember, but for her vagina. So she had this big bush, and I guess some dudes are into that. So these dudes would come over and they'd be like, hey, can I get a picture with you? And this porn star was like, I'll tell you what, I'll take a picture if you buy us shots and put four songs in the jukebox. And I was like, this is amazing negotiations. So these dudes keep bringing shots, and I'm sitting right by the jukebox on the wall. And then she would, when they bring us shots, we'd take the shots, and then she'd go to the bathroom and take a picture with them. And then me being the stupid comic that I am, I just keep playing Glycerine by Bush. I think it's just like a funny joke. And everyone's like, why do you keep playing Bush? I'm like, Bush is what's playing for these requests. because there's still another couple comedians around. So we're hanging out and the night's getting later and later. And what's crazy is one of my friends from high school, actually, I knew this kid since like elementary school, this Mormon kid from Cheyenne who lived in Utah. He was in town for like a cabinet convention and he had never seen me perform. So he's like, hey, can I come to a show? And I'm like, yeah, but I don't know what I didn't know it was going to be this crazy. So we, after sitting at the bar for a while, we're getting drunk. And then as the night winds down and other comedians leave. And so I end up sitting at this table and it's me and my childhood Mormon friend.
Wait, the childhood Mormon friend, he saw you at the gig. He was in the Green Door and then he came over to the salon.
And he was just in town doing, like I said, I think for a cabinet convention or something. So he came to the show and then he was hanging out. So then we're sitting at this table and after everybody kind of clears out, it's probably 3 a.m, right? And it's me and the porn star and then my Mormon friend and then the guy in the bunny suit and then these two random girls from Oakland that were just like at the show. And I mean, and so the 6 of us are sitting there drinking shots, listening to Glycerine over and over, whatever Bush songs I could put in. Everybody's having a good time. So then we're like, so everyone's pretty drunk. We're like, we should go back to the Green Door and have sex. And I was like, okay. Cause I knew I was going to get the porn star. And then I was like, the two Oakland girls had to pick between a married Mormon guy and a guy in a bunny suit. I don't know what's worse, but.
Wait, did you ever see the guy without the bunny suit on? Like, could you see his face?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, you couldn't. No, you could see his face in the bunny suit. So it just like circled up and then it had the ears. But then it was full bunny suit. So I'm like, this is crazy. So then we cash out our tab and we go out. So we go walk back next door. And I'm like, this is crazy. I'm going to have sex with a porn star. This is crazy because she was hot. And I was like, this is, you know, like I said, I'm a kid from Wyoming. I never dreamed I'd even meet a porn star. So we go outside. And we walk back to the Green Door, and it's probably 4:35 in the morning. When we get to the door to go in to all go have sex, there's a sign on the door that said closed for cleaning. And we're like, oh, my God. And I remember we all just stood there like, that has got to be the worst job in the world on a Sunday morning at 5 a.m. just cleaning up
the
sex club. So I'm like – so we're like, crap, we can't do anything. Let's go back to the bar. So we go back to the gay bar and it's pretty, nobody's in there. And so we order another round and then, but everybody's like ready to have sex now. So the guy in the bunny suit convinces the girl that they're going to go behind the stage in this bar and have sex behind the curtain. So he takes this girl back there and he's just having sex in this thing. And you can see like bunny arms and bunny legs flailing out. We just start laughing. We're like, oh my God, they're having sex back there. So the bartender, I think, sees the commotion, wondering why we're having laughing and everything. He comes around, he sees this bunny having sex with a girl. He goes over there, pulls up the curtain, starts screaming at him, get out, everybody out, kicked out. So we get kicked out. And it's that awful moment in Vegas when you walk outside and it's daylight. And then we walk out and I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, I'm drunk. I can't believe this. So my Mormon buddy, he's like, I got to go, you know, I got to go home. So he gets in a cab and goes to the hotel. And then I was like, I guess it's over. And I said to this porn star, like, you know, nice to meet you or whatever. And she's like, no, you know, we're not done. You want to come to my house? And I was like, okay. Yeah. So I'm like, holy shit. So she orders a cab and we get in a cab. So we're downtown Vegas and she lives South Vegas, probably about 25 minutes away. So we get in the cab.
Henderson.
Yeah. Yeah. Very close. And you know you're Vegas. That's impressive.
Oh, yeah. I used to have a property there.
Oh. So we get in this cab and we kind of cuddle up in the back and we both fall asleep. And after about 20, 25 minutes, we pull up to this beautiful neighborhood with like a guard gate, but not like a punch code in, like a real guard. I'm like, holy shit, where are we going? And we go in and we pull up. This cab takes us to this just huge ass house. And I'm like, oh my God. It's like, I'm going to marry this girl. I don't know what I'm going to tell my grandma. This girl. So we go into her house and then we go to her bedroom. We walk in her bedroom. Her bedroom's huge. Her bedroom was bigger than probably any apartment I had in LA. Humongous. And when I walk in, there's two things I notice on the, like in the corner of the room, there's a full stage and like a stripper pole. And at the foot of her bed, there's this huge, like 12-inch dildo. Oh. And like, oh my God. And not any dildo. It was blue and it was Obama. It was President Obama. God, no. So the tip is Obama's head and the shaft is a suit. And I'm like, I'm just a regular one. I have a very average dick. And I'm like, I don't. I always say in real, I don't want to follow a regular black guy in real life, more or less the most powerful man in the world in blue. So she's like, if you want to just get in bed, I'm going to shower real quick and I'll be back. And I was like, okay. So then I just get into this big comfy bed and she showers and she comes in naked. And then she just immediately just climbs on top of me, gives me a blowjob. And I come in like 45 seconds, like incredible. I always say it's like that Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hours thing. Like she had done it. She gives me this incredible blowjob. I pass out, go to sleep. We wake up in the morning and we're laying there in bed and she's like, hey, you know, you want to get some breakfast? I'm like, yeah, you know, of course I'll take you to breakfast. And she's like, no, I can just order it. And I was like, okay. Now this is years ago before like Grubhub or any of that. And she just picks up the phone in her room. And she just puts in an order. And I'm like, holy shit. This girl has like a butler. I'm like, I'm going to marry this girl. So she puts in this incredible order, French toast, eggs, all this. And then she hangs up the phone. We have sex again for like 30 seconds. I'm so bad. incredible. She knew exactly what she was doing. I was so embarrassed. We pass back out. Maybe sleeping half hour. Half hour later, there's a knock on the door. She's like, come in. I'm butt naked under the cover. She's just in her panties, tits out, just flopping around. This dude comes in with a tray full of food. And I'm like, this is weird that she doesn't even care to be naked in front of like her butler. The dude, I'll never forget this. The dude, he comes in, he sets the tray of food down on the table next to the bed. And he looks at me and he looks at her. And then she looks at me and then she looks at him. And I'll never forget. She goes, Dad, this is my friend. Friend? This is my dad. And I was like, oh my God. I didn't know what to, I just like nodded at him because I'm still naked under the covers. And he just turns around and he walks out. And then the second he shuts the door, I'm like, that's your dad? And she goes, yeah. I go, is he going to be mad? And she was like, I'll never forget. She goes, he won't say one fucking word because if he does, he knows I'll fire his ass. And I was like, and what I say in the story, when I tell it on stage, I'm like, I thought cleaning a sex club at 5 a.m. was the worst job in the world. Till I saw a father have to deliver a homemade breakfast to a guy, to his daughter, to some guy who just got done fucking his daughter. She didn't even know, she couldn't even introduce me because she didn't remember my name. I was like, that is definitely the worst job in the whole entire world. And then,
wow.
Yeah. And the crazy thing about it is then I hung out there for about 2 weeks and I eventually like became friends with the dad and we would.
Wait a minute. You hung out at her house?
No, I stayed like 2 nights there, but then we kept in contact and then she would come to shows and then, and she was, it was a fun little thing. Like, I just couldn't believe it. Cause I could go home and it was something crazy. I would either be with her or I'd just be at my house and bring up like 30 videos and just watch this girl and be like, that's the girl I had sex with him on. It was crazy. But then her dad was, and her, me and her dad were cool. We never got like official dating, but we would laugh about that later. Like, hey, remember that time you had to bring me breakfast and no one knew what my name was? And he's like, yeah, did you like that breakfast? I was like, yeah, it was good breakfast. So it was crazy.
That is so funny. So you think the money came from her then?
Oh, it definitely did. Yeah. He was in prison and then he got out and that was like, he was in jail or prison. That's what we kind of bonded on. Cause I think he just thought I was just a nobody dude. But then once I said I was a comedian and my dad was also in prison and then I could make him laugh and then we bond over the prison stuff. And then, so we just became buddies for a little bit and then, it's crazy. And then,
okay. Now, to be fair, a mansion or a huge house in Vegas isn't necessarily like, in other words, you know how some of those houses in Vegas are like McMansions, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
They look in a way they look impressive, but if you look closely, it's like, oh my God, like what is happening here?
Oh no, this one was incredible. She had a big pool in the backyard. She had, I mean, she must have made a lot of money. Well, because she had like a fans only page back then before everybody had one. And yeah. I know she made, I think she was, because she would tell me stories about dudes would just send her just ridiculous amounts of money. And because I don't know if I was thinking about dating her just because I was like, it would just create, I mean, it's crazy. I've always just wanted to get married and have kids. So, and even though I'm 42, I'm still not married and I don't have kids, but that's what I've always wanted since I was like 22. So even in the moment, I was like, oh, I never took it as like serious. Like this will be my girlfriend. Yeah. But then the more we had sex and the more fun we had, I was like, this would be a pretty sweet girlfriend. But then I was just like, I don't think I could get over the fact like that was her job. Like, I mean, I get it, it's her job, but it would just be weird because I wouldn't, I'm like a chubby dude with a very regular dick. So she would never put me in the video. So I'd watch her videos and they were guys with like abs and like really good looking dicks. So I knew even if I was like her boyfriend, I would have to be like, she'd be like, hey, this is what I did at work today. And it would just be some hot dude.
No, too much. Yeah. That's...
So I just wasn't really built for that kind of relationship at the time or maybe ever. So
I'm trying to think about like her narrative, right? So I'm thinking in my head, like, okay, her father abused her or abused her mother or her father fucked her over in such a way that he went to prison. And now she, you know, becomes a porn star because obviously a lot of girls that go into that line of work have had some difficulty, as it were. And then she starts making the money and then her dad gets out of prison. And so she is basically saying like, okay, listen, you fucked me over. You kind of made me who I am. Yeah, I'll take care of you, but you're going to take care of me, as it were, something, you know?
Yeah, it was a weird dynamic of like, it was just, it never felt like father daughter. It was like daughter, you know, the daughter was like the boss and then he was more like the kid because I think he got his money from her and then she would buy all our booze and food. And so I think it kind of just flipped. And
but in a way it's Modern Family and you know it works for them, fair enough.
I mean, they were fun. Like when I would tell my friends, I'd be like, yeah, we just hang out like you do at barbecues, but there's just naked chicks around and we have a lot of sex and like, and everything's free. Like it was just like the barbecue I would go to tomorrow, just a lot less fun. And I got to bring my own beer and she just always had everything. Cause those girls, they have like wish lists. And she could put anything on there. She could just be like, amazing. I want two cases of Coors Light. And someone would just buy them for her. Someone in like Massachusetts would just be like, here you go, sweetie. And we would just get, and I was just like, I wish I was hot girl. This is incredible. So
yeah, I have a friend, one of my friends who's a stripper. She has guys, you know, one guy pays her, you know, rent and another guy helps her pay this or that. And I understand. But like you said, to get involved with them in an intimate way would be hard because they might not even have that capability of being intimate.
I mean, I tried to date strippers before. And I mean, some of these are just like corny jokes, but they're also true. It's like going to see my girlfriend on her lunch breaks at like 1:30 a.m. It's like, it doesn't work. And I got to pay $20 to go see my girlfriend at lunch. It's like, and I just don't like when I go to a strip club or even a bartender, like if it's a hot girl, nothing is worse than the boyfriend sitting at the end of the bar, like watching her work, like just let your girl work, do her thing. I have a big problem with like trust issues. I had trust issues when I was younger and luckily I grew out of it, but I just think a pouty dude is like, one of my family members is just really, he's really possessive like that. And he gets cheated on every time because I think these girls eventually are like, you're going to yell at me for everything anyway. I might as well let someone tell me I'm beautiful. I'm like, I was going to make a shirt that just says hot girls aren't for everybody because it's the truth.
That's another good line of merchandise. Boy, I'm telling you, Brent, you got ideas, man.
Well, that's
you got ideas.
Tell these guys out there, if you're mad that your girl's getting likes on Facebook, that's, you got a shitty girl if she's not getting likes on Facebook. Don't get mad about that. Guys are always going to be creepy. It's like when people are like, well, these guys liked her picture. I'm like, yeah, because she's beautiful and that's what you want. You know? I just don't get it, but...
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Okay, a couple of weeks ago on the show, I had Jill Kimmel, who my first time I ever met Jill, and she was so fabulous, and we had so much fun chatting. She's in Arizona, and she spoke so highly of you. I think, I think to myself, did Brant pay her? Like what?
I love you guys. She's one of my best friends, and we know all each other's secrets. And we went overseas and did a tour together, and I tried to get her in a crazy story, and it happened. So we were in Turkey, and I was like, let's go to one of these Turkish baths. Cause I was like, I want to see what happens. And we had been overseas for a while, and I was horny, and I was like, let me see if I can just get like a rub and tug or something in Turkey. I didn't know how it worked. So she's like, she was worried. She's so motherly and just takes care of me. I think she's worried about my safety. I was like, just come with me.
Of course she is.
You could just get a massage. The girl will just give you a regular massage. You don't have to do anything. And if I can get laid or whatever, it's Turkey. It might be like $30. So we go to the Turkish bath. And when we get there, I don't know anything about the Turkish culture. Like, women aren't really supposed to go in there. So then they're like, okay, a woman can come in. But there was no women giving the baths. It was only dudes. So I was like, oh, now I got to get a bath from a dude. So we come to this weird room. And what I thought was going to be like maybe me getting sex in Turkey was this big Turkish man washing my beard and Jill just sitting there giggling. And I just had to, because I signed us up for it. And then when I got there, I was like, well, I brought you here, and now it's now you were a good sport about it. Now I got to be a good sport about it. So they were different about washing a girl than the dude, but I've never had anything like that. I had to lay there, and this dude just washed me from head to toe. But I mean, he was like right in my face, just cleaning my beard, and I could just see over his shoulder Jill just giggling. I was like, and we always laugh about it. We're like, what in the hell did we get into? But no, Jill's she's just an awesome person, very funny, and. She's one of the few people I know, no matter what, if I call her, she's always got my back. So I should pay her.
That's so sweet. Well, listen to her story on Storyworthy. It was really very funny.
Oh, I'm sure. She's so funny. She's had a crazy life too.
She has had a crazy life. Yeah. Really interesting. It was about her divorce and then going out with a guy, the first date she went on after her divorce. And she was with this guy, they're, you know, dating, and they're hiking. They're doing like this hiking thing. And she's not like a hiker, but he says, oh, it's, pretty mellow. It's not really a steep terrain. So they're on this trail hiking. And then they get to this one place where it's kind of like an overlook. and Jill yells out, the song, like that old Foreigner song, I've been waiting, like that. And then somebody on the trail way down low yells back, for a girl like you. And then later you find out who that was. Anyway, so it's a really funny story.
Because I know that dude, and he's the worst. It's a funny, quick little story. So we went to Jill's brother's, obviously, Jimmy Kimmel. So we went to the show to see Garth, because me and Jill love Garth. And we're backstage. We get to meet Garth, and I take a picture with Garth, and then Jill and her boyfriend at the time take a picture at Garth, and Jill's like, don't fuck this up. I'll have to take you out of this picture. And now sure enough, that picture's of my head photoshopped on that dude of me and Jill and Garth. And I was like, this dude, he blew it.
That's really funny.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's really funny. Anyway, man, I really appreciate you coming on the show again. Telling another story. Tell me the name of the new podcast again. Craigslist.
Yeah, Craigslist Chaos.
Craigslist Chaos. I'm definitely going to look that
up. Yeah, and I have one more called Stand Up Explained. If anybody's thinking about doing stand up, if you're just starting out in stand up, it's twice a week we just go over, stuff like how to deal with bookers, what comedy pays, what to wear on stage. It's kind of like a comedy class, but it's free, because if you're going to get into comedy, you're going to need every dollar you have. So it's called Stand Up Explained. It's on YouTube and wherever you find podcasts. So if you're interested in stand up, I recommend it.
That's amazing. You sounded like you have a co-host on that.
Yeah. Andrew Slater is my co-host, and it's been a good mix, because I've done like Comedy Central and the military shows, and he's done like cruise ships and Conan. And so between us, and I'm a little more wild and he's more conservative. So he's one of my best friends. We have great chemistry. So I just recommend it if you're thinking about doing stand-up, if you're starting out. It's something I wish was around when I started. And plus, comedy classes are so expensive. And just listen to us. We'll do it for free.
Yeah, this is exciting, man. Yeah. Way to go. You're making good use of your quarantine time.
I'm trying to survive in this business.
Yeah, I hear you, brother. Listen, I'm thrilled about your keynote speaker idea. Thank you. I really hope that works for you.
Glad you said it.
You'll have to get some testimonials, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
from people. And I'm thinking of the whole thing. I'm mapping it out. No, but it's a really good hook for you. I totally see that working.
Thank you.
All right. All right, you guys, I got to wrap it up. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today and listening to the show. I'm celebrating 10 years next month, if you can believe it, 10 years in July. And I can't wait to see who the guest is. I've got some really exciting people in mind, but I can't wait to see who actually comes through. So follow me, you guys, on social media, and we'll all find out who my 10-year guest is together. Okay? Okay. All right, you guys, one more time on behalf of the very talented Grant Tobler. Thank you so much, man. Really.
Thank you for having me. And if you're listening, subscribe, rate, review. I know it doesn't matter, but it's so important to us podcasters, and it takes 10 seconds. So just do it. It really helps us.
It really does. I say that all the time. All right, you guys, my name is Christine Blackburn saying, make it a story-worthy week. You can't.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.